My guest today, and you can give us a call at 347-237-4039. My guest is Joan London. She's one of America's most recognized and trusted television personalities. As host of Good Morning America for almost two decades, Joan has helped millions of American families start each day. The longest-running host ever on early morning television, during her tenure, she reported from 26 countries, covered four presidents, five Olympics, two royal weddings. An award-winning television journalist, best-selling author, motivational speaker, entrepreneur, and mother of seven, Joan London defines today's working mother. We're going to talk today about Camp Revel, a special camp in Maine that she created for women. Welcome, Joan London. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you on Positive Living. Oh, how wonderful. Well, thank you for being on the program. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thank you. Well, I mean, just reading your bio, it's just amazing all of the things that you've done. You've traveled all over the world while hosting Good Morning America, and you've done so many things, and now you have created a special camp for women called Camp Revel. Did I pronounce that correctly?
It's Reveille. You know the song that. It's a wake up call, and that's what I want camp to be, is a wake up call for your life.
All right. And tell us about it. It's a unique summer camp for women in Maine.
You know, I started going to Maine about 12 years ago when I married my husband, Jeff Konigsberg, and he has several summer camps up in Maine for children. So we have a home at right next to one of those camps, and every summer I would be there, and I would come back in September, and I would be reinvigorated. I would have, you know, climbed mountains, and you're kind of back with nature. You're on a beautiful lake. I played tennis. I went water skiing. I went on the climbing wall, and I would come back, and I would say, boy, I have to figure out how to bottle that and sell it, you know?
Like, you did.
I almost feel guilty that I have this.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm all over the country all the time talking to women's groups, and I've been a women's advocate, a health advocate for years. I work on many different initiatives with the American Heart Association and many others, and I've written many books, you know, Healthy Cooking, Healthy Living, Growing Up Healthy. And I looked at my husband one day and I said, here I am a health advocate for women, and this summer camp closes down mid-August, and we have the four nicest weekends of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm missing something here. So three years ago, what did it.
Women do? Do they have classes and aerobics and yoga? Are there also personal growth workshops? Joan, do you teach a workshop there?
You know, I am a part of everything at camp. I'm there all day long, every day for the 4 days, and campers participate in all kinds of camp activities, whether it's archery or canoeing or kayaking or sailing or water skiing.
Mm-hmm.
We have 17 tennis courts with five tennis pros. There's arts and crafts. There's ceramics and jewelry making. There's a 50-foot climbing wall. We do whacked-up relays that everybody's involved in, doing silly, silly, fun things.
Are you there with the women a lot of the time? I mean,
all the time.
But you're traveling, too.
Throughout the year, I mean, but during, when I have Reveille, when I do camp, I am there all the time with the women.
I lead
the whole program.
Oh, you must really love it. Just love it.
It's my passion, and it's such a fun, it's a huge undertaking. I mean, we have, you know, about 150 women from all over the country, 17 states in Canada, and they range in age from 25 to 75, lots of moms and daughters. Lots of friends, many of them come. They went to college together and haven't seen each other in years.
Joan, the question I have is how you've done it all. I mean, you have two sets of twins.
Mm-hmm.
You have more children. You also have done Good Morning America. You travel all over the country. You've been an entrepreneur and a speaker and a mother of seven. How do you, you know, that's a hard thing, and a wife. How do you balance all of that? It's hard to balance that.
You know, when I hear some people say it and they just say, whew, I don't know how you do it. And then I hear you say it and I think, I am so incredibly lucky to have had the opportunity to do so many things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do have obviously a good support system in my life. I have a very involved husband, and I have people in my home that help me with my children. You know, I do have two young sets of twins, 4 and 6. Mm-hmm. They are quite a little rambunctious crew. And my older girls are 21, 25, and 28, and I'm still incredibly involved in their lives, moving two of them into an apartment tomorrow in New York City.
So you bridge the gap of all ages. You have all ages around you.
You know, I said last year I was out and I was buying tricycles, and I said, you know, I'm buying modes of transportation, cars, and tricycles, just at the same time.
Yeah.
But it is balance, and it is, I think the thing that, you know, I happen to have like a lot of big things that I juggle, businesses, and every woman across the country these days juggles. They juggle, many of them, I mean, 72% of them are juggling a job outside the home as well as inside the home, mm-hmm. and trying to be the best mom they can be. And we have very high expectations for ourselves these days. We feel that our kids have to be in a, you know, probably way too many classes, and, you know, just trying to stimulate them and educate them in every way possible. Mm-hmm. And it really does stress women out. And the thing that goes is themselves.
They don't take care
of themselves.
And what do you hear from women that come to camp? What's their number one complaint, and what is it that you help them to do? Is it rejuvenate? Is it say, okay, time for me?
Yes. Most every woman I hear from almost says, I love my family and my kids, and I don't dislike my life, but every second of my life is spent taking care of someone else. And I know that I don't take care of me, and I want to find me. I want to have some me time. I want to bond with other women. I want to have adult conversations.
Mm-hmm.
They really are in search of, you know, that recommitment to their own well-being and their own sense of balance in their lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we really have an awful lot to share. I think as women, we have so much to share. And in this kind of a situation where we put all these women together, they do share. They want to share with each other, and they inspire each other.
Mm.
They motivate each other. It's just an amazing support system that you see go on.
June, what do you miss most? Two questions about Good Morning America. What you miss most, and what did you gain most? What was the greatest lesson you learned from being on the air so many years?
You know, that is the most incredible seat from which to view the world. You literally are, you know, the first person to learn things and to tell everybody else, to tell a nation what's happening in the world, to interview the newsmakers and the entertainers. But you learn a lot just about humans when you're interviewing people all day long, every day.
Yes.
And how to make them comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be a foremost leading scientist, but when you come in at 6 o'clock in the morning to go on at 7:10, and you've had 3 cups of coffee and you haven't eaten and you're nervous and you're not used to being on air, my job was not only to have a good understanding of what questions to ask,
but to make the person comfortable.
Mm-hmm. comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes to inspire in them the idea that they have the ability to make it through this 3.5 or 5.5 minutes.
Mm.
And I think I became quite proficient at that. And I think that's part of my success today in going out and speaking to women's groups, which I do consistently, and being able to get in front of them and motivate them and help them understand that it's kind of like when you get on that airplane and the flight attendant says, you know, in case of an emergency, you take that oxygen mask and put it on your own face first,
exactly.
Then help your child. We forget that as women. We think we can just keep on going like the Energizer Bunny and somehow we're just going to hang on. And the fact of the matter is that we have to take some time out for ourselves.
And honor ourselves and be
really in tune with our bodies, so that we keep ourselves healthy, because we let our health go way too often.
Right. And then everything else goes.
Everything else goes. Then you're worried, sick.
I want to comment on what you said about the media, Joan, and about, you know, bringing out the best in people. I've been doing this work as an independent person on TV and radio for about 25 years, coming on and saying we've got to show positive sides and turn obstacles into opportunities, and my work has really grown. And the reason I'm telling you that is that in those days, people didn't want to hear this. Now everyone wants to be inspired. Now, segueing to that, about maybe 3 or 4 months ago, Brian Williams on NBC started getting a lot of complaints. People were writing to him and saying, you know, the news is so dreary that I don't even want to listen. You know, I just want to go away. And so he put out a call for good news, and he said that the good news he received could have filled up 3 networks. So my question to you is the tide turning in media now? Where are we shifting and where do we need to be?
I sure hope it is. I just think that over the course of the last 10 years that the media has just become incredibly exploitive, sensationalistic, and basically uncaring. They just don't care about humanity and about people's lives, and they have no sense of respecting anyone's privacy, and it's not right. And so I just
the problem is, when you see that enough, you think that's the way the world is.
It becomes the norm, and it becomes, unfortunately,
and it isn't,
an expectation of the public. And they get to the point where, because they hear it asked, you know, the most personal, intimate questions, they come to think that they actually have the right to know everyone's personal business. And
a lot of what we see is deviant behavior, and we begin to think that's the way everyone is, when it's a very small segment.
And unfortunately, they then begin to, I mean, you can take this and you can extrapolate on it, because what happens is everyone starts to say, well, yeah, that's what everybody's doing. All these things we hear reported on
all
the time.
So it's okay.
So it's okay. And unfortunately, the next generation growing up, which is different than us, and the way they're different, we wait to hear about all this stuff by reading People magazine or hearing it on, you know, Entertainment Tonight.
They have it
coming into them in real time on their phones.
Exactly.
They hear every time someone's arrested for drugs, or every time somebody else is, Britney Spears is pregnant again. I mean, they get this in real time. And it starts to become the norm.
Yeah.
And so I just think that, and it's, you know, I'm part of the press, you know, you and I can talk about it because we're part of the press, but it is the press, I think, that has done this.
Well, and it's taken a long time, because for me, Joan, you know, when you're outside of that mainstream and you're not in the mainstream press, which you were, you know, then you're convincing people to do more of the positive. And I've done that, and I've stayed with it, but it takes longer. Now I think there's a real stronghold. People really want to be inspired. I hear it all the time.
They do. They absolutely do. And, you know, that's what all my books have been about, wake up call, and a bend in the road is not the end of the road. And I've had my following out there. The thing that's been good for me is that you have that general mass, and it's a massive number, that follow you because of being in the mainstream press. And the wonderful part, you know, it's almost like you leave that and you have this huge chit to play, because you have these people who have come to be your friends, and they've,
absolutely,
you know, for me, they were with me at a very intimate time of day, from 7 to 9 in the morning.
Yes.
You know, they weren't dressed, their beds weren't made, their hair wasn't done.
Right.
They wouldn't invite their friends over, but there I was.
Yeah.
So they have this very familial, it's not even a familiar, it's a familial kind of relationship with me. So when I write books and when I go out to different cities and I speak, they show up because of that attachment, and then you can deliver your message.
Absolutely.
And I really appreciate and greatly, I mean, to me, that is an incredible opportunity to have.
Yes. That's how I feel. The opportunity to do this work is an incredible opportunity. Who is one of your, I'm sure there are many, Joan, but what stands out in your mind in terms of amazing guests or people that really touched you on your program on Good Morning America?
Oh, well, you know, there are the inspirational people. I mean, you know, like Deepak Chopra. And, you know, it's funny because I said to him once, I said, I'd like to include a few things in my book that kind of just serves a summary of your book, the books that you did. And I wrote these couple pages, and he wrote me back and he said, I don't know whether I should be happy with you or not. He said, you just summed up what it took me 400 pages to write in, you know, in 2.5 pages.
Wow.
And the fact of the matter was, is that the book was like Ageless Healing, Ageless Mind, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he sold millions of copies, but probably only a couple hundred people actually read the whole book because it was really dense.
Mm-hmm.
So I have wanted to, and I love books. I love words. I love quotes. I love things that elicit feelings and things that mm-hmm. inspire us. So I've tried to take a lot of these things that I've learned from all these people and kind of put it like we do on television, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. We take everything that's going on and we sum it up. We sum it up in 5 minutes of easy to understand, and we deliver that. And so that's what I do for a living. But I think that the public needs that, and the public is used to getting their information from television and, of course, today from the Internet. Yes. I'm slowly but surely moving over to the Internet.
All right. And if you would like to speak to Joan London, our amazing guest today, give us a call, 347-237-4039. Joan London is one of America's most recognized and trusted television personalities. As host of Good Morning America for almost 2 decades, she helped millions of American families start each day. The longest-running host ever on early morning television during her tenure, she reported from 26 countries, covered 4 presidents, 5 Olympics, 2 royal weddings, an award-winning television journalist, best-selling author, motivational speaker, entrepreneur, mother of 7, Joan London defies today's working mother. And we're talking about, among other things, television, the world of positive living and positive thinking in the media, which is my favorite subject, and also Camp Reveille, a special camp in Maine that she created for women. So as women are hearing this interview today, Joan, and say, I want to go there, tell women about, you know, about a little more about the camp and how they can learn more and come up this summer.
You know, I have women from all over the country, from every walk of life, and they all come together, though, and they can kind of be 14 again. And that's just, you know, it takes away all the stress, and there's no expectations at Camp Reveille, and it's in southern Maine. People fly into Portland, Maine, mm-hmm. and we're about 20 miles from camp, and we pick everybody up. And, you know, I did focus groups before I started camp, and I found out that women, they don't want to have to be too structured. You know, don't tell me I have to go to this class, just give me a lot of choice. Because our whole lives are structured. We have to pick this kid up here, take him to this lesson and this game. So I provide a lot of choice, and there are no expectations. And some women come and they want to take every fitness class there is, Zumba, Pilates, kickboxing, you know, self-defense. Others come and they say, well, I want to take some ceramics and some jewelry making. I might try archery. And before they leave, I've got to tell you, half of them try the climbing wall because they come there, and you know the old saying, it takes a village? Well, at the bottom of our climbing wall, there is a village. And there's, you know, it's just wonderful because women are inspired by each other. They challenge themselves. They try new things. Mm-hmm. And others say, you know what, I had the best 4 days because I found a wonderful Adirondack chair. I found a bunch of other women who we knitted together. We find out who amongst our camp population are interested in what. Last year we had a group that did Mahjong together. They found each other. We had another group that knitted together. And and they did that sitting looking at the most gorgeous lake, Long Lake.
How beautiful.
And, you know, they watched everybody else water ski and sail, and they had a good time in their Adirondack chair. And that's fine. This is supposed to be a wake-up call, and it might just be to just be able to take a respite and renew yourself and slow down to the speed of life for a few days.
All right. Question for you. Now, you're talking about all these amazing things that have happened in your life and in other women's life that you have helped to transform through your books and through your talks and as a role model and through the programs and through the Camp Reveille. Now, Joan, I'm sure that at some point in your life you've had difficult times. My question to you is, A, how you've gotten through them, the process, and what you say to women who come to you and say, Joan, you know, I'm out of a job, or my husband just left me, or I'm in a bad relationship, or, you know, I just, life is falling apart around me. It's like,
you know, we had a stage manager on Good Morning America, and every now and then, if Charlotte Gibson and I would be in a bad mood, she would come over to us and she would look at us and say, you know, you can start this morning over at any time you'd like. And it's so true. And I remember I read a book once by Jonathan Kabat-Zinn.
Yes.
And it's called Wherever You Go,
You Are.
There You Are. And what it really means is that we all view life through our glasses, and our glasses are made up of all the events that have happened and all the resentments and, you know, anything else that we carry around with us. And we can all arrive at the same situation and all look at it and see it differently and be affected by it differently emotionally. And I learned so much by reading things like that, that basically say you can decide to let go of the emotions of the past and decide to put a smile on your face and walk out and not let it bother you. And some people hear that and they say, what are you talking about? You know, stuff happens to us. And I said, no, it really doesn't. It happens, but you have the choice in how you're going to react.
Have you
and
been
if you want to walk around unhappy about a marriage or about losing a job or about breaking up a boyfriend, go ahead and give yourself a defined period of time to wallow in that and then decide that you're not going to let it affect you anymore.
Have you done that? Have you been through that in your life?
Oh, yes, as you can tell. And, I mean, look, we all, you know, sometimes they're harder than others to be able to really put that into action. But if we really truly embrace the concept that it is our choice, happiness is our choice. And it's something that has to be worked at like anything else you practice in life. But I remember that every morning when I was at Good Morning America, I would literally, in the morning, I'll tell you something I used to do every day. I would go and close the door in my dressing room right before walking in the studio, and I'd get down on the floor and I would do like 20 sit-ups. And the reason why, like 20 little crunches.
Bringing energy up.
Because it just tightens your abdominal muscles and you sit in your chair differently. Mm-hmm. And I would like stretch. I remember going on the road with Anthony Robbins and Tony, right before going on stage, I was on the road with him for 2 years. That's where I learned to be a motivational speaker. Mm. And right before he goes on stage, backstage, you would think that he was having some kind of a fit. He literally jumps up and down and he makes his mouth be really wide, his eyes be really wide, and he opens and closes his hands, and he's literally pumping the adrenaline, the blood through his system, and he's waking himself up so that he bounces onto that stage with that energy. And I learned, and you can do that before you go in to make any kind of a presentation or to ask for anything in life. And then the last thing I did before walking into the studio, before I opened that door to my dressing room, is I looked in the mirror and put a big smile on my face. Mm. And then, I mean, it's an old cliche, you're never dressed, fully dressed without a smile. Well, when I got through putting on my clothes and my microphone, I put on that smile and then I opened the door and went into the studio. Mm. And to me, I mean, sometimes it's just good to actually go through the act of doing that. I mean, look in the mirror in the morning and put that smile on and try to remind yourself during the day that no matter what's happening in your life, it will pass, you will get over it, and you will be able to go on. And if you make that effort, make that decision, it's a decision to be happier. Because what happens is that everyone thinks that they're going to wait for someone to come and make them happy. But the reality is that as soon as you start acting happy, that's like a magnet, and that's like an
attraction.
Yeah,
people attract people.
Actually attracts everybody to you.
Yeah, I interviewed Marcy Shamoff recently. I've had her on a few times, and she wrote the book Happy for No Reason. It really does talk a lot about that. I've interviewed lots of happiness experts, and that's what they talk about. It is a decision. Do you think part of it's in the genes as well, Joan?
Maybe. My father was very much, you know, he was a doctor, a physician, a cancer surgeon. I always thought I'd be a doctor. And he was the kind who was the eternal optimist. And my mom, you know, they call her Glitzy Gladdy. And the reason why really is because I had somebody come once to a roast, a 75th birthday roast for her. And they said, when Gladdy comes into a room and leaves, it's like a shooting star, like something remains afterwards.
So you had good role models. You had very positive role models.
My mom used to say to me when I would get upset about something, she'd say, okay, that's enough. Let's put on our rose-colored glasses and go on. And, you know, it's like one of these dumb little cliches that you think, wow, that actually does work. And she really taught me that at a young age.
Isn't that wonderful?
Because you can put on your rose-colored glasses and you can choose to look at life through those or not. And it's so much nicer to wear those.
Now, another one of your ventures, Joan, is a personal health record system called Passport MD. Talk about
yes.
that for a minute.
You know, the reason why I got involved in Passport MD, it is an electronic PHR, personal health record. Now, PHR might be a new phrase to a lot of people, but, you know, 5-10 years from now, everyone will have a PHR. This is the way of the future, and I'm sure people have heard President Obama say it 100 times. We need to get everybody's medical records online. You need to have them because eventually the system will work in such a way that all of us will be connected to our doctor's offices, and as we go to the doctor, those records will be transmitted to our PHR. And once we get that going, we will be in charge of our health. Because right now what happens is you walk into a doctor's office, you see the doctor, and what happens? He takes that chart, and he writes all about you in that little chart, and then he puts that chart back into his files. You walk out, and a week later you say, what did he say my blood pressure was? What did he tell me to do? And we don't remember. And in essence, we leave the responsibility for our health at the doctor's office. And there are so many people who aren't even going to the doctor. Once we get everybody to be in charge of their own health, and one of the things that I felt was terribly important and one of the contributions I made to Passport MD was I wanted to make sure that each one of the people who sign up with Passport MD, which they can do at passportmd.com.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the process behind that and how people would sign up.
Well, there's Google Health. I mean, we're not the only ones doing it. And there's the Health Vault, which is Microsoft. The difference is that those actually are free, but your information is shared. And I think eventually this is going to become something where it will be in the private sector, because that's what's really preventing a lot of people from doing it, because they don't want their information shared. They don't want every insurance company and every employer to know everything about their health. And we employ the same security measures as, you know, Chase or Bank of America or any other bank. And when you put your health information into the system, nobody can get to it.
Hmm.
But when we do this, we ask many, many questions. And part of this is that you need to talk to your parents. You need to find out what your family medical history is. And then we send you notices, you know, when it's time for that mammogram, when it's time for that colonoscopy.
So it's all in one place.
No, it's all in one place, and it's accessible 24/7 from anywhere in the world, password protected. So if you're in Europe or you're on a cruise or your parents are out on a cruise and they have a health emergency, immediately the first responders can find out whether they've had a heart attack, what medications they're on,
what kind of
test they've had. It's really amazing.
For people as they age, you know, with dementia, I mean, this is a great
thing.
Well,
I have my mom on it, but, you know, interestingly, you bring up something that my mom doesn't understand anything about the Internet. So we also download the information onto a little ISB device, and that's what the assisted living place has for my mom. So she's put in the back of an ambulance, and she's going to the hospital. They have that. They can plug it right in, and they immediately know, because when you're 90 years old, you can't always verbally give the answers to the first responders' questions.
Yes.
So eventually, this will be the way. The first responders have told me that this is the difference between life and death.
Yeah, it'll be the way of the future. The way
it will be
the
way of the
now.
Future. I'm kind of in on it on the ground floor.
Yeah.
But again, this is. You know, it's the kid who always wanted to be a doctor, Patricia. And I never did become a doctor, but these are all ways you can make a contribution.
Absolutely.
And that's my way of helping to keep other people healthy.
Wonderful. Joan, do you have a few minutes to stay in a little bit longer? Can you share a little more with us?
Sure.
Okay. That would be wonderful. You know, it's so enjoyable. We're not taking a break today. We're just going to continue talking to my really world-renowned and amazing woman, Joan London, who is one of America's most respected, recognized, and trusted television personalities. And you created this camp for women called Camp Reveille in Maine. And you talk about a typical day in the camp. Joan, what is a typical day for Joan London? I know it's different from what it used to be on Good Morning America, but what is it now?
Well, you know, I now have a production company, and you know, when you've been on the air and something is visible, you know, as Good Morning America, I just have so many things come to me. It's really a luxury and a privilege in life. Well, one that I only had to get up 2 decades at 3:30 for.
Yes.
But I do in many, many, many different things. I work on 2 different shows. I have a show on Lifetime every Sunday morning at 9:30 called Health Corner. Obviously, once again, women's wellness. And I also do a show for DirecTV called Hometown Heroes. Ironically, it's also on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and again at 12 and again at 3 because that's the way DirecTV is.
Talk about positive living. It's all about being positive.
Exactly, because Hometown Heroes is a show that shines the light on ordinary people that do extraordinary things and make a difference in their community or in the world. So, you know, you can see the kinds of programs. I do a number of specials every year. Last year I did a special called America's Invisible Children. And it's all about homeless children in America. We won an Emmy for that this last year. And I work on a number of different other initiatives. My husband and I invented something called KinderCord. And Kinder, you know, we had a lot of little kids running around and we didn't want to use a leash. But we just looked at each other and said, all right, so then how do you keep them from running out in the street?
Yeah.
How do you keep them safe going from the mall to the parking, to your car in the parking lot? Something doesn't exist out there that people want to use, and let's come up with it. So we came up with something called KinderCord. We've had it patented and designed and developed, and we manufacture it now overseas, and we sell it in Babies R Us all around the country.
And what does it look like, Joan?
You know, it's like it looks like you're wearing a Swatch watch or like a Nike band, but instead of the watch, it has a little cord that comes out that is retractable, and your child also wears one. We are actually just partnering with Disney on this to be made into all kinds of little, you know, Disney character bands for the kids. And when you want to be using it, you take the 2 little cords and you hook them together with this little hook that cannot come apart and the kids can't get it undone. And then you can be around. It gives them a little leeway. It can be 1, 2, or 3 feet long. So if you're going through the checkout and you don't want them to be, you know, pulling everything out of the impulse buy place, you can keep them a foot away. And if you're at the zoo or at an amusement park, you can let them be 3 feet away so they can have a little bit of leeway, but you don't lose them, Joan.
Well, you know, having been a mother of twins, you have different age groups of children in their 20s, and you have your small children. You're the mother of 7. Okay, what is your advice to parents today? You know, parents are so worried about kids getting into alcohol and drugs and bad relationships and, you know, sex too early. I mean, you hear this all the time. What's your advice, Joan?
Start talking early. Start talking early but talk in a way that you listen and that you are open to them and that your children feel that they can come to you and talk to you. Don't put away your BlackBerry. Listen to them in the car. Make sure you have dinner together every night. You can learn amazing things when you pick them up from school in the afternoon from what happens in the back seat and what they're saying. But you've got to get that line of communication open. You've got to have a sense of trust going that you're not going to jump on their head every time they tell you something. Don't meddle too much in their lives. Don't be one of those moms parents, they don't even let them go on their own when they go to college. I mean, I just had, you know, one daughter, Lindsay, she went through UPenn and graduated 5 years ago. I just had another one graduate this last June. And, you know, I'm on the board there. I'm on the parents committee. And they said they're called helicopter parents. They just hover over. These kids can never grow up. That's what college is supposed to be. And these parents just never let the child ever make a mistake and have a consequence. And we fix everything. And, you know, none of us want our kids to fall down, make a mistake, get embarrassed, be sad. But they need to.
Yes.
And we
can't. That's how they learn. All right. Now let's look at the other side of this. On one hand, we're talking about parents, you being the mom. On the other hand, Joan, you are the adult daughter of a mom who's 90. You know, who's in assisted living. What's your advice there about being a good adult daughter?
Yeah, we really are the sandwich generation, and we're really the first generation to really be dealing with this because, of course, women, people are living longer and longer and longer. So, you know, I live in New York and my mom lives in California. And for a long time, my brother was the one who was right there on hand taking care of her. And you know, I'm the one that paid. But my brother died of type 2 diabetes a couple of years ago, and I'm now the only person in charge of my mom's health. And I just, you know, I keep it, – it's a big responsibility to have little ones and your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have parents actually living in the home with them. And it does get to be overwhelming for a lot of us, just the issues that are involved in their medication and Medicare and paying their bills and the bureaucracy involved. I'll tell you, with this company, Passport MD, I've developed a new product, which we're going to launch in November, called Passport Life. And what that is going to house, instead of all your medical information, it's going to house all the other stuff about your life. From your driver's license to your Social Security to your insurance to your deeds to your properties to the titles to your
makes
cars.
It easier.
Because when my brother died and I went to move my mom out.
You couldn't find anything.
I couldn't find anything. I said, Mom, where's your driver's license? I don't know. I stopped driving. Where's your passport? I don't know. I haven't traveled lately. I literally had to reconstruct her identity. And not only that, but she has some dementia. And it's like, so where were you born again? And because I had to find out where she was born to go back and get her birth certificate and then to go and get a wedding certificate, because with those two things, I was able to get a Social Security card.
Mm-hmm.
Once I had the Social Security card, I could get the California state license. And
the Passport MD really helps with that and brings it all into one place, and you don't have to go through any of that.
Yes, and to me, we're all, you know, once you it takes a little work to pull it all together. But eventually we're all going to have that, because all those files in our house, you know, now that we're all used to being on our PDAs, eventually you're going to have all that. If you're going to be paperless in your house, and it's all going to be in a password protected environment.
All right,
you can keep it all.
We have talked about you being a mother, about you being a daughter. We've talked about Camp Reveille. We've talked about you being the former co-host for 20 years or 2 decades on Good Morning America. Do want to close or do want to talk about your relationship with your husband? How do you balance all that and still have that special relationship with the significant man in your life?
You know, when I divorced, I just interviewed someone that talked about how long it takes to get over a trauma, and he said it takes 5 years. And, of course, when you divorce, you say, wait a second, I don't want to wait 5 years before.
Yes.
But it does.
But it does.
It's time. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think I dated correctly for 5 years. But when I did decide to get married again, I wanted to make sure that I chose a person for the right reasons. Not because they could take care of me or anything, but because I want to be able to wake up every day and say, God, I'm glad I'm waking up next to him. And he's truly a friend. He is the best supporter I could ever ask for. I mean, he admires me for what I do. I admire him for what he does. He runs summer camps for children. He's the calm in the center of a storm. The patience the man has is incredible. And he really, really affects the lives of young people and helps to mold them into compassionate and young individuals that respect each other's privacy and respects adults and respects the women in camp who are the counselors. That's important to him. And he's just a wonderful partner in life. The fact that we're working together now in Camp Reveille, because, you know, he's my back of the house, you know. I developed the program and I recruit the women and I lead camp and have a great time with the women, but he's the one that makes sure that there are clean towels in their room.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful, know? That partnership? You do different things.
Yeah, and it's been really fun.
Yeah, you've had friends over the years, many I'm sure, who've been through divorce and been through difficult relationships, and you've been through that yourself. You have a wonderful relationship. Why is the divorce rate so high? What are we doing that's not right, and what does it take?
Well, first of all, I think people sometimes jump into marriage and they marry for the wrong reasons, so that they don't ultimately end up with a person that they really enjoy being with and respect, and therefore it's just going to ultimately fail. So picking the right person is really important. You know, I've had people say, well, you know, did you really want to get married and have kids again? And I said, you know something? I was always being set up with people who were these, like, big power people, power guys.
Yeah.
I was bored to tears.
Really?
That's not what I wanted to do. I wanted someone who was going to embrace my daughters and be a dad, you know, not take the place of their dad, but that really wanted to be with not only me, but with my kids, because with me comes my kids. Mm-hmm. And that's what I care about. So, you know, I made a conscious decision, and I think that we need to be more careful about who we choose. And then once we're into something, I think that everything's become disposable in this country.
Too much.
Including a relationship.
Yeah,
and I think people throw away relationships, you know, very easily because, mm-hmm. as we talked about earlier, it just kind of becomes the norm and it becomes, mm-hmm. well, fine, it's an expectation. And so we don't work at them.
But you also said, Joan, that it's very important that you love yourself first, because if
yes.
you're not happy with yourself, you may pick the wrong person.
And, yes, but, I mean, I also made the effort to go through, you know, a year or two of marriage counseling just to make sure that I shouldn't be trying to stick it in with it, even though I clearly knew it wasn't going to work. But still, I made the effort.
Mm-hmm.
And but you can't stay in something forever if you're unhappy, because it's not going to be good for your children and certainly not going to be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy, though. I mean, for me, obviously, I had to do it in front of a nation. So it was doubly hard, and the tabloid media takes it and makes it, you know, even bigger.
How long have you been married now?
I've been married for almost 10 years, and I've been with my husband for almost 13 years. Yeah.
Wonderful.
And, you know, and I would say I'm lucky because I chose such a great guy, but it's not. I mean, I looked for him, and when I realized that I had found him, you know, I made sure that I made it happen. You know, stuck through it, even though there were times when we were questioning, because, you know, when you're older, you know, you're wiser.
Mm-hmm.
So you do go through that intellectual thought process. But, you know, we clearly saw that we were going to be two that would be a fantastic couple together and have the same kind of moral ground, and so we wouldn't question each other.
And you consciously decided to have children.
Yeah, I really wanted to do that, and that was part of my, you know, when I said to my, we forget to ask ourselves these basic questions, like, what do I want the rest of my life to be like? And everybody that's out there listening right now, that if you're divorced or widowed and you are thinking about what you want to do with your life, ask yourself that question. And then just as importantly, listen to the answer.
Mm.
Because I said, I want to be in a house with the pitter-patter of little feet running down the hall in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be on a bicycle out with the kids. I want to be at the park, on the playground, on the slide. That's what I want my life to be like. And so I answered my question, and then that helps you choose your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hadn't have asked myself that question, like really consciously asked myself, because I needed to answer that question to determine which way I wanted to go. And I chose the family life. I chose the family guy.
And he agreed with you, which was wonderful. I mean, that's the other thing, is the same like values, correct? That's very important.
Absolutely. And that's why you're talking to me today, and you hear somebody who's so happy.
Who is
so satisfied with my life, because
yes.
I chose this lifestyle.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes I think even when people are married, they might even stay together and be happier if they would talk about these things. Half of America isn't talking to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be
staying in relationships
house,
that aren't happy because they're afraid to leave. I mean, we know that as well.
Or they just aren't talking to their partner, and if they ever really opened up and talked and said, this is why we're not talking, this is why we're not happy, because I'd like there to be this, 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 and this in my life. How about you?
Hmm.
And, you know, if you ever really talked about it, maybe both of you would like that, but you're never going to know unless you talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in their own unhappiness.
What an honor to have you on this program, really.
Oh, my pleasure.
Can you just give us, and I want to talk to you for a second off air afterwards, can you just give us some closing thoughts? What is your message for America? Good morning, America, with Joan London. What is your message, and your message about camp? Reveille and women and men and happiness, your message, Joan London.
My message is that you can make each day as happy as you want to make it, but it is your choice and it is your responsibility to do that.
Mm. It's just been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank
My
you
pleasure, too. Thanks.
Yes, if you can just stand for a minute.
Sure.
My guest has been Joan London. She's one of America's most recognized and trusted television personalities. As host of Good Morning America for almost two decades, Joan has helped millions of American families start each day. And the list goes on about all the reporting that she's done over the year. Over the years, she's a best-selling author, motivational speaker, entrepreneur, mother of seven, and really defines today's working mother. And we were talking today a lot about Camp Reveille, so check that out. It's a special camp in Maine that she created for women. You can log on to CampReveille.com, CampReveille, and if you choose to go this summer, you will meet Joan. She is there, and she'll be right there with you. So do log on to that website. Folks, this is the close of this segment of the Positive Living Network. I'm Patricia Raskin. We're on every day from 10 to 1 right here on Blog Talk Radio. I've created this network to help you turn your obstacles into opportunities and your problems into solutions and to make your dreams come true. I've been doing this work for a long time, and it's so exciting to interview such amazing guests, and especially people like Joan London, who's making the world a better place. Until tomorrow, stay healthy, stay happy, get the support you need, and know you can make your dreams come true. I love you all. Bye for now. I'm Patricia Raskin.
You've been listening to the Positive Living Network with your host, Patricia Raskin, leading the charge across the world to positize our planet, right here on Blog Talk Radio every weekday from 10 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make an appointment right now for a lifestyle destination radio network exclusively dedicated to positizing our world. 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 Radio network exclusively dedicated.